speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
I'm proud to be an American, proud of my citizenship, my temporary citizenship is on earth. A Christian's permanent citizenship is in heaven. But with all the good and glorious things about America, I'm concerned because there's a decline in the moral fabric of our society. We've heard how that 40 years ago, the biggest problems faced by teachers in our school systems were problems like students chewing gum, or talking when they were supposed to be listening, running in the hallways. Things have changed, and today the top problems facing students are students and teachers, in some cases, using and dealing in drugs, rape on the playground, handguns in the classroom, other violence taking place in the schools. Not long ago, some time back, the executives and the presidents of NBC, CBS, and ABC met with congressional leaders to discuss the increasing incidents of violence shown on television and try to determine whether or not this had any impact on society. Well, in the common language, duh. You know, they were wondering if the violence on TV did impact society. And they argue that TV really doesn't have any effect on what people think and what people do. But isn't it rather ironic that those same television executives charge advertisers hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars for television commercials and argue that, well, television doesn't really have any influence on society? Why would advertisers pay up in the millions for just a one-minute spot if it did not impact society? They know it produces results. And I was amazed when one television executive trying to shift the blame was quoted as saying, "Can it be that there is some sinister force at work in our country that has nothing at all to do with the media?" Yes, sir, friends, there is a sinister force at work. And one of his main tools is the media. That sinister force is known as our adversary, the devil, the roaring lion that Peter speaks of, going about seeking whom he may devour. Our adversary is the devil. And he's constantly using the media to cause our young people to be immersed in all kinds of violence and wickedness and immorality and depraved behavior. So our country is a great nation. But as our country becomes more violent and more pagan and more anti-God, it's important to consider what the Apostle Paul wrote to some Christians who were living also in a pagan society under a pagan government. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, wrote to the Christians at Rome, telling them how to maintain their integrity as good citizens, even in a pagan and an immoral land. And so I want to read from Romans chapter 13, the first 7 verses. "Here, by inspiration, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Well, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. And I'd like for us in the time remaining to notice several things that the Bible teaches us in it. First, it teaches us that God is sovereign over government. Notice Paul said, every soul must be subject unto the higher powers. He's simply saying, submit to the government authorities. There is no power but of God. The authorities exist, for God established it that way. That doesn't mean that God appointed Gaddafi or God appointed Saddam Hussein or that God appointed Hitler and Stalin and used them as puppets on his string. But it does mean that God has established the principle that government is to be in charge of society. And God can accomplish his work and his will in all kinds of government, sometimes through them and sometimes in spite of them. We think that a republic based on democracy is the best kind of government because it has served us well for 225 years. But we need to understand that our Constitution was written assuming that the citizens of this land would be moral, God-fearing people. That's the only way democracy will work, because democracy becomes whatever the people are. If the people become pagan and immoral and violent and wicked, then the government becomes pagan and immoral and violent. Someone has illustrated this way. You could put five people on an island, three men and two women, and the three men may vote to violate the women. That's democracy, but that's democracy at its worst. So democracy has the capability of becoming an evil form of government if the people are evil. And I'm concerned about America. Once theocracy was the form of government over Israel. By theocracy, we mean that God was their ruler. He gave the laws. The prophets and the priests were his spokesmen. But the people were not satisfied with that theocracy. They were not satisfied with God's arrangement. They wanted a king like the nations around them. And at their insistence, God gave them kings. And soon they didn't like that very much either. And how much we are like Israel today, not satisfied with God's plan, thinking that we can improve upon it. But whatever form of government, democracy or monarchy or theocracy, pagan or godly, God has still been able to work in those governments to accomplish his will or in spite of those governments. And he wants his people to work in them, wants them to work for him and serve him. Notice verse 2 gives us reasons for government, and down through verse 4. He says that there are two reasons for government. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. One purpose of government says that government is God's servant to you for good. The government's supposed to serve the people. The government is the place where we pool our resources in order to provide the services we cannot provide for ourselves. For that reason, we pay our taxes. The government builds roads, it builds playgrounds and schools and highways, provides services that we cannot provide for ourselves. One of the purposes of government, and it's good. A second reason for government is to restrain evil. The verse says that the servant in the government is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoers. Government is supposed to make sure that evil does not rule the land. Evil is to be squelched by the laws and the power of government. And that passage also says that if we really want to be free from fear, then obey the laws of the land. But if we're not obedient, then we need to be afraid. And we know that's true. Every time you hear a siren or you see the blue lights behind you, what do? Well, maybe the first thing is slow down, but perhaps before that you look at your speedometer, see if you're driving within the speed limit. And then you may think, well, is my seatbelt fastened? Do I have my registration card? Do I have my insurance card? Is my license plate up to date? And if all things are in order, then you breathe a sigh of relief. You've not broken the law. You're not afraid because you're not a violator. But when one does break the law, the government can punish for the disobedience of the law. In the same way, in every society, government is there to restrain evil. Our Constitution puts it this way, to ensure domestic tranquility. Well, from our text in Romans 13, another thing this scripture teaches is that government officials are to be servants of God. Three times it says that they are God's servants. So public officials, teacher or policeman, or in the military, whatever job might be, they need to realize that they are there as God's servants. They are to serve God in whatever job they have, and Christians are to serve God in whatever job they have. That's the principle stated in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's repeated later on in chapter 28. The principle is, if a nation obeys God, it will be blessed. If it disobeys God, it will be cursed. The historian Arnold Toynbee said that of the 22 civilizations I have studied, quote, 19 of them fail not because of external forces, but because of internal moral decay. He said they died from within. Our Constitution says, quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, unquote. Our country started by recognizing that we have a Creator, and because of Him, we have rights that we enjoy in this country. Our country was established upon what we might say were Christian principles, Christian beliefs and standards. The law of God was used somewhat as a guideline in writing our Constitution. Jamestown, one of the very first settlements in this new land, built a church building right in the center of the community. And that church became the hub around which everything revolved. The earliest colleges in our land, Yale and Harvard, were established primarily to train preachers to preach the gospel of Christ. John Quincy Adams wrote, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it connected the principles of Christianity with the principles of government." If you go to the Congressional Building in Washington, you'll discover scripture verses on all of its walls. You take your coin out and you'll see, "In God we trust." Congress still opens its sessions with a prayer. And Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of the nation be thought secure if we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of men that these liberties are a gift from God?" Well, America is a great nation. But with the winds of change that are blowing, and the people that are turning away from God, and the anti-God movement that seems to be going on, we have reason to be concerned.